Clayton. Sean Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football with the professor, John Clayton, who joins us every day at 4 o'clock here with Bob, Dave, and Moore. Hello, John.
Hello, guys.
So Eli Manning, by all accounts, going to announce his retirement on Friday. Not a huge surprise. Where does he rank for you? Is he a Hall of Famer? You'll be hearing arguments, I'm sure, from somebody speaking on his behalf at some point. But when you look at his career now, where does he fall in that?
I think he's borderline. I mean, it's because, yeah, he did the two Super Bowls, and he did the two Super Bowls when he got hot. But he also had a 500 record his entire career with a legacy type of franchise like the New York Giants. And so I think it's going to take a couple years. But ultimately, you know, the 16 years that he's played, the fact that he really never missed a game because of injury, that'll play a kind of an Iron Man factor in there. So I think it may take a year or two, but ultimately he'll get in.
Yeah, let's go back, John. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I saw a thing today. I don't know how I stumbled across it, but it was the 94 draft. And Mel Kiper, do you remember Mel Kiper getting all over Bill Tobin, mm-hmm. who's the GM of the Colts, because they didn't draft Trent Dilfer. They took Trev Alberts. Mm-hmm. And so Mel Kiper was like, that's why they're always at the bottom and blah, blah, blah. And then Tobin comes back and goes, who the hell's Mel Kiper anyway?
Uh-huh. I remember that, yeah.
Yeah. So when Eli was drafted, was it 04?
04,
yeah. But there was take us through that story of the Chargers were going to take him, and how Archie stepped in and supposedly was able to get him to the Giants.
Yeah, what ended up happening is that you know, Archie ended up flying out there, and of course there was so much drama going on in the you know, in the 84 draft, because again, you have this behind the scenes type of thing where, you know, at that time, I mean, the Chargers were terrible. I mean, it was disorganized, it didn't do well, and Archie went out as a father just to kind of investigate it, and he came out of there basically saying that, hey, there's no way you should go there, son. You need to try to work something out. And then Ernie Accorsi with the New York Giants was able to come back and work out the trade, and you know, obviously having the great success in that. I mean, Eli had to wait a year to get the chance to start because they had Kurt Warner there, and he waited, was very patient, and did that. But you know, basically, Archie just thought it was a bad organization to try to go to at that time, and he was able to execute the trade. And again, this happens so rarely. I mean, you know, John Elway didn't want to go to Indianapolis,
right?
And so he ended up working out the deal with his agent Marvin Demoff to go to the Denver Broncos. And so, yeah, in a similar vein, it's like normally, because the same thing could go with Cincinnati this year. Although right now, the father of Joe Burrow says he's okay going to Cincy. We'll see in the end if that's the case. But no, I think what you can see is that this is one where Eli just didn't want to go there based on his father's knowledge, mm-hmm. and it turned out it worked out okay. He's had a great career in New York.
That kind of backfired on the Dolphins, huh? Because since he's going to be the first pick, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Miami was trying to tank by taking off. They're the second pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably get the defensive end.
Well, no, Miami's the fifth pick.
Oh, they're fifth.
Yeah, the Giants are sitting there.
They blew it, man.
Yeah, I mean, let's put it this way. They did a bad job of tanking.
Yeah.
What were they doing winning right out there? What were they thinking?
It's hard to tell because, you know, when you see a team that has that so few players left on it from before, I mean, what, they had 38 new players in this team. I mean, that's 15 players from the previous year. That's brutal.
Hey, John, I was just thinking about the Packers. They went out with a whimper, and it looks like LaFleur, or whatever his name is, the Green Bay head coach, he looks like he's unhappy with the defense, the defensive coordinator. I mean, how do you think they're set up going into next year?
I think they're set up okay. I mean, you know, the big thing is they did such a great job in free agency going 4-for-4 because, I mean, they ended up getting the two Smiths, who are not related, but Zevian and Preston, and they combined for 29.5 sacks, 1.5 more than the entire Seahawk team. That worked out. So their defense is better. I think that, you know, they got Adrian Amos at safety, but they only have him for 1 year, so he could leave. And then they were able to get Billy Turner from Denver, and he did, $7 million. He did a decent job at guard. And so they hit it well there. You know, they got some young pass rushers and stuff like that in the draft. And so I think they're set up pretty well. I mean, you know, certainly they have to make sure that their offensive line is okay. I mean, I think Brian Bulaga is going to be a free agent. So, you know, he could end up leaving. But overall, I think they're still set up. And the big thing is they're set up well because they got Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm just reading the story here. Apparently he didn't commit to Pettine, and then now we're seeing that they met let's see, following the head coach's news conference, and they are moving forward together for year number two.
So they are going to stay together?
According to this story, yes.
Okay, yeah, because, again, it didn't sound too good when the coach comes out and says, well, we're still evaluating what's going on with this team right now.
What did you think of what he said, though, when they were just talking about the lack of urgency or the lack of fire? And he's in his quote, I think he's like, that's something I'm still trying to figure out right now as we speak. And this is today. He says, I mean, I don't understand that because you're there. You have an opportunity to go play in a Super Bowl. And for that to happen, it's extremely bothersome. We have to look at ourselves, everybody. I'm going to look inside of myself and see why our players weren't playing with their hair on fire. I think everybody in our organization has to do that, which he's right, but that always comes back to the coach, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, what has to now come back? I mean, because if you're talking about the team didn't seem to be inspired and they didn't have any fire, well, the fire has to come from the coaching staff. It's almost like some of those things that you would hear all year from Freddie Kitchens. You know, guys are yelling at his face, players are, and he's saying, oh, no, we're motivated to try to win and we're trying to do the best that's happened. I have no problem with that. And in this case, when you say they didn't have the fire, and, you know, one of the things that put Mike Pettine in a little bit of jeopardy was he didn't make adjustments. I mean, believe me, if you go to Kyle Shanahan, put his hand in the Bible and ask him, he's like, did you really only want to throw the ball 8 times? He's going to say, no, I wanted to have a balanced offense. But when you don't make adjustments and you're running the ball so well, and it's like, hey, if this guy's going to let me keep doing this, I'm going to keep doing it. And that's what he did.
How weird is that, though? You have a chance to win a game and go to the Super Bowl. I mean, as much as I just said, yeah, it falls back on the coach and that's his job. These guys are pros. The idea that somebody's in there going, eh, all right, let's go play. I mean, what does that say about the guys they've got on the roster? I know Dave could probably speak to that, but was there ever a moment you're just like, especially if you had something on the line like that?
Oh, my God. You just can't do that in the NFL. You just cannot. So, yeah, you'll get smoked out eventually. But, yeah, plus you're one game away from the Super Bowl.
It doesn't – I don't know.
Everybody wants to go to the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. John, we got a Antonio Brown update. He has self-incarcerated himself, is what they put on Pro Football Talk. But he is locked up in his house. I know this isn't surprising to anyone. A suspect in the battery of the driver of a moving truck. I would ask, how do you get wrapped up in a story like that with a driver of a moving truck? But it's Antonio Brown.
It's Antonio Brown.
And he was moving his stuff.
So the guy must have broke something, right?
Well, his trainer or whatever, his bodyguard, he assaulted him. He got busted, and they wanted to talk to Antonio. The cops did, and he locked himself in his house. And as far as we know, he's still locked in his house.
He's got to come out for food at some point.
Maybe that's what it was. It's like, okay, so they just brought a whole thing of food in there for him, so now he can just lock himself in for a couple of days and not have to worry about it.
This is going to end poorly, John.
Yeah, it's not a good scene.
It's spiraling rapidly. I mean, every day there's a new twist to something. He's screaming at cops. Then somebody gets assaulted that's a delivery guy for his place by somebody he employs, and now they want to talk to him, and he's locking himself in his house.
Mm-hmm.
This is bad.
What you have to wonder about, too, is that, and we've seen this with a couple of players. I mean, look at Richie Incognito, how he kind of went out of control for some time. Fortunately, he came back, and I don't know if anybody's followed him this season. He had a great year.
Yeah.
I mean, he got a contract extension. I know I was talking to one front office guy, and they said that they thought he was the best guard in football this year. But remember, I mean, here's a guy that got so bad that he goes into a funeral home when his father's funeral, not during the funeral, but going into the home, and he starts yelling and making terroristic threats at the people in the funeral home. It's like he was that bad. And, of course, you know the problems that he caused in the locker room for Miami. But, you know, he must have gotten help, and now he's helped. And so I think Antonio better open up the door and find somebody to come in and help him.
Yeah, it's too bad that like Richie Incognito can't get to him, because I bet you he'd probably be the first guy in line that would want
Brandon Marshall
want to help him out.
Well, yeah. Of course, I remember they were briefly teammates in Oakland.
That's right. Yeah, during camp.
All right, Professor, in Jacksonville, they have a new offensive coordinator, Jay Gruden. What do you think?
I like it. I mean, I think Jay's a good play caller. I think that it's kind of a nice fit. I mean, nice guy, all those different things. And now the pressure is going to be, it's like, okay, you're going to do it with Gardner Minshew. You're going to do it with Nick Foles. You know, that ultimately is not going to be his decision.
They go with, John?
I think right now you have to start with Foles. I mean, because you're stuck with him. I mean, are you really going to be happy enough having a guy making $22 million on the bench? And I think you got to start with him and see if he does like he did. Well, he got hurt this year. I mean, he only had 10 plays and gets into the regular season, and he goes down with the injury. And so now I think you start with him. But again, you have a quick hook because you can see you went 6-6 right now with Gardner Minshew.
Jim, your thoughts?
We disagree
on
that one.
You knew this was coming.
Nick Foles already had his chance, and he blew it.
Well, I mean, he got hurt, and then he came back, and he probably rushed it, and that didn't help, and they got him out of there quickly.
Yeah, but wouldn't you rather have Minshew mania?
You'd rather win. I mean, whatever quarterback can give them a chance to win. I mean, yeah, I know Gardner did well with the 6 wins, which was pretty good, but he didn't do it against a winning team.
Winning Minshew mania.
Yeah, but he was a
winning Minshew mania.
Well, he was a first-year quarterback, though, Professor.
Yeah, he was. But
6th round?
Hey, how's his mobile home trip going?
I saw that he was in Las Vegas not too long ago. I haven't kept up on exactly how it's
going.
Well,
you're not a very good kook.
No, I know.
Yeah, you haven't been swept up in the Minshew mania, apparently.
I'll get back to you, Dave.
Hey, John does not have Minshew mania.
I watched a little clip on TMZ of Robert Kraft, and he was in New York, apparently, and the guy with the camera screaming to him, "Hey, you bringing Tom back?" And his response is, "We hope to."
Mm-hmm.
So does that change your opinion on whether he's coming or going? What do you think happens?
Well, it's a little bit more definitive, so I think it helps the process saying that, hey, they definitely want him back. But again, it's still the price. And it's like hope is one thing, money is another. And now the question is somebody going to be willing to pay him the $30 million it's going to take to get him to sign with the team? And, you know, whether that's going to be the Chargers, whether that's going to be Vegas Raiders, you know, whoever it's going to be, Indianapolis maybe, you know, it's open game right now. I mean, hey, they can control this. All they have to do, I mean, they have like, what, $13 million of cap room that's dead if they let him go. You might as well try to find a way to keep him and pay the dude.
All right, Matthew Judon is getting ready to hit the open market, John. So, you know what? And this guy really, I mean, kind of a no-name guy coming into this season with the Ravens, but probably because Za'Darius Smith has been there. But he had 4 sacks, 8 sacks, 7 sacks, 9.5 last year. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Does he leave Baltimore? Do they try to keep him there? What do you think's going
to
happen?
Well, they better try to keep him because, I mean, look what happened. I mean, Za'Darius Smith ended up leaving Baltimore along with Terrell Suggs, and Judon was the only one that was left as a pass rusher, and he had a great year. I mean, can you afford to lose 3 pass rushers in 2 years?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard enough just to get one, as you know, Seattle's trying to find out right now, but to have 3 and you lose 2 in 1 year, and over a year, that's going to be tough. So I have to think they got to pay the dude. I mean, I think, well, it's going to cost them probably $17 or $18 million. Wow. Bucks, but I think they got to do it.
I was just going to ask you that, but I love stories like this. Matthew Judon, anybody know where he's from? Grand Valley State.
No.
The powerhouse.
I thought you were
going to
say Worcester High School.
Oh, no.
I thought it would be Camptown. Wouldn't it be Camptown Races, hear that song, Judon, Judon, Camptown Races, hear that song?
Judon. Yeah, I can go with you on that one, Joe. That's not too bad. Fifth round draft choice in 2016, Grand Valley State. Pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. He's going to get $18 million.
Yep. I mean, let's put it this way. If he doesn't get it in Baltimore, he's going to get it someplace else. And because, again, you watched what happened in Green Bay and their success in getting 2 outside linebackers, Preston Smith and Za'Darius Smith, you know, at least got them to the championship game.
Gardner Minshew is at Grand Canyon right now, John.
He is?
Yeah. He's posing. And he looks fantastic. He's right there.
How's the mustache holding up?
It's holding up well. He's got a beard going, too, John.
What's he wearing? Is he wearing the cutoff jeans?
He's got kind of fatigues looking. He's got camouflage pants, and, yeah, he looks good.
He's no jean shorts?
No.
Okay.
He looks great. All right, Professor, I did my research. I followed through on my homework assignment.
After Dave told you not to.
Tom Brady at the age of 43 next year.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why he will not be good. There's only been 3 quarterbacks that have played in the NFL history at the age of 43. Warren Moon is one of them. He only played in 1 game at the age of 43. Now, he played more games at the age of 44, but this is just for the sake of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
43, 1 game, he was 1-for-3 with Kansas City in 1999. Steve DeBerg is interesting. He played at 44, but he didn't play for 5 years. He took 5 years off and came back and played for Atlanta, so I threw him out. Vinny Testaverde is the second quarterback who's played at 43. 7 games, 55%. With Carolina in 2007, 5 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. The last quarterback who played at the age of 43, Doug Flutie, 5 games for New England in 2005, 5-for-10, just kind of a backup role there, 50%, no touchdowns, no interceptions.
So what you're saying, if he goes to the Chargers, he'll end up being an MVP?
No.
No.
I'm saying that history tells us, John, that Tom Brady will not be good at 43.
Okay. Okay. Of that group, I mean, Warren Moon is the only Hall of Famer, correct? And, as great as Warren Moon was, and he was great, I mean, Tom Brady's the greatest of all time.
Okay.
So he can defy the odds.
So you think, what will his numbers be with the Chargers? I mean, you think he'd play the whole time there?
Mm-hmm, and, yeah.
And he'll throw for what? I mean, 60%?
A lot of it depends on the offensive line. I think that you can see with Russell Okung struggling with injuries, the problems they have on the offensive line, they've got to fix that up. If they don't, you know, Tom Brady could be in a lot of trouble. You know, you saw he was in trouble this year because their offensive line dropped dramatically from where it was in 2018. So the line's going to dictate how well he can do, but I think he can do pretty well.
Well, I got to admit that I'm kind of coming to your way thinking here because there's only been two quarterbacks that have played at the age of 42, Tom Brady, and then the other one, John, you remember Earl Morrill.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Oh, man.
It's not like Earl Morrill was all that great.
Played for the Chargers, right?
No, but I mean, Earl Morrill did, you know, pretty much what Nick Foles did. You know, came out of nowhere, filled in for an injured Bob Greasy, and was able to get the Super Bowl out of it.
Yeah. By the way, Steve DeBerg, I did a NFL thing with him. That dude can party.
Oh, can he?
Okay. Oh, yeah. He was lots and lots of fun. Yeah, we went to some Goofy what? Games thing that they called it, and he was...
Oh, you went to a Browns game together?
That's good, John. I like that. Uh-huh. He was hammered at the party that we had.
It's kind of weird looking That's at his funny. Stats, though, John, because he retired at 39, then he took 5 years off and somehow came back at the age of 44 for Atlanta.
Well, remember a year ago, I mean, I think it was roughly around this time, Kurt Warner was thinking about coming out of retirement.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah, remember? I mean, he was thinking about doing that, and then wisely decided not to.
Hey, did you see Tevin Campbell has not practiced? Apparently with dislocated shoulder is mm-hmm. what happened to him.
Yeah, which, Tevin Coleman.
I thought it was his elbow.
Yeah.
No, it was his shoulder.
It was his shoulder.
Yeah.
Which...
I know that Kyle Shanahan said this yesterday, is that, you know, he thinks that he could recover within a week. I'd have to say no. You're not going to come back from a dislocated shoulder in a week.
Yeah, but I had that. I don't know how long it was out of socket, if it popped right back in or what they did, but explains why they were moving him so gingerly. But, boy, that seems awfully optimistic to think he's going to be back in time.
Yeah, I would venture to say no.
They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they got Mostert and Breida. Breida's healthy, right?
They've still got Matt Breida.
Yeah. So is this a fairly healthy Super Bowl going
yes.
in?
Yeah.
I saw there was a couple of guys that sat out of practice. Was it Kelsey maybe? Nothing big there, though.
No.
Yeah. So.
No, I think this is a healthy Super Bowl. I tell you, when you really think about it, except for Seattle and the running back situation and injuries on the offensive line, it was a pretty safe playoff. And a lot of the, you know, again, so much of the success of a team is how healthy you are, particularly by the end of the season. And obviously, Seattle was not healthy. But, I mean, Minnesota was pretty healthy going into their game. San Fran, of course, really healed up during their bye week. New England didn't seem to have any problems other than they don't have anybody as far as talent at wide receiver who's not named Julian Edelman and no tight ends. But, no, I thought this was about as clean of a playoff run as we've seen.
Yeah, and Green Bay, I think they were the healthiest in the league.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? What's the number? I think
28 guys played 16 games.
Yeah, 28 guys on the team played all 16
games.
But they lacked passion, right, Jim?
Yeah, well, let's put it this way. I mean, the fire burned out. And, of course, I mean, I guess maybe what it comes down to, the fire works if you're in Green Bay because you need the heat. But if you go to the 56-degree San Jose, that fire just burned out.
Sounds like they need to throw some cash on the fire there. get guys motivated.
Yeah. I guess. They're not making enough.
John, last thing I have for you, Dan Snyder, Redskins owner, met with Maryland lawmakers about allowing sports betting at a possible new stadium he wants to build. You think in this decade, Professor, we're going to see more and more of that where you come to the game and then you can just step right up to the windows like you're at a racetrack and bet on the game.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think you can see it. I mean, it's interesting because, again, what he wanted to do and it failed is that he wanted to put the stadium back in D.C., you know, not too far from where it was before. And then apparently that didn't work out politically. So now he's back, you know, working with the Maryland people. And, you know, and I just go back and this is, I don't, you wouldn't call it vision, but I guess what you call it is reality. But remember a couple years ago when Jerry Jones and the Cowboys were over in London? I mean, he goes over to the stadium at Wembley and he sees all the betting right outside and inside the complex. And he goes, I can see this being the future. And so, yeah, I think what you're doing is seeing Dan Snyder trying to be the first one to link that up and make it work.
John, good stuff, man. Let's do this again tomorrow.
That sounds good to me.
All right, then. The professor with us every day at 4 o'clock here with Bob, Dave, and more.